Hello and welcome to GIST Radio. We are a casual radio station where we broadcast when we have something to say. GIST stands for Getting the Shit Together, and we broadcast important interviews and information for artists and creatives of all kinds. For more information on GIST, please log into our website at www.gyst-ink.com, where you will find free resources, software, and publications for artists. You can email us and let us know what you would like to hear about at info@gyst-ink.com. Thanks for tuning in. And hello, this is Monica Hicks. I am a GIST team member doing your interview today. We are here with Ilana Mann. She is an amazing artist based in Los Angeles, California. Her projects investigate communication and silence while utilizing the theatrics of political, social, and interpersonal exchanges through performance, drawing, installation, video, sound. She is incredible. Let's everyone welcome Ilana Mann. Hey, Ilana, welcome to GIST Radio. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, it's great. Let's get this started. You are also a fellow CalArtian. I'm referring to CalArts in Valencia, California. A bit about yourself and your career as an artist and what you've been up to since your graduation from CalArts.
Yeah, well, just a little background on me. I'm from Boston, and I grew up in a household where my dad was a doctor, my mom was a psychologist and a body therapist on me as a kid, and I was really, you know, just in different things that she was learning, and I was really aware of my body as a tool to explore the world in a totally different way, I think, than a lot of people are, and that's really guided me in my art practice. And the other thing that's really guided me was that I was a kid, so my mom was literally rewriting Jewish prayers, you know, thousands of year-old prayers in prayer books. And it was pretty amazing because when I was a kid, I thought that change was really that simple, just kind of getting a glue stick, printing something out from your computer, and just going at it. Because
right.
the prayer books just had pasted in written prayers. So it was just... change to me seemed really possible and really easy. And, you know, as I've gotten older, I've realized that perspective has changed a little bit. But, yeah, that's my background. I went to school in the Midwest, studied sculpture, but was doing a lot of performative stuff and body-related artwork, and got really interested in Brazilian artwork from the neo-concretist to Tropicália with artists like Elijah Clark and Ilia Wetisica. So I was lucky to get a grant when I graduated from undergrad, and I traveled to Brazil and studied that work, and it was really amazing. And then did some stuff in between undergrad and graduate school, and I went to CalArts, graduated there in 2007, and since then I have been making art and teaching a bit and kind of making my way through the complications of having an art career.
And, I mean, it's become completely multifaceted. I mean, if you're coming from sculpture and then using your body as a tool and doing performance work, like, how are your interests? And maybe I actually have a side question. How does culture play a role in your interests as being an artist as director and an artist as performer?
Yeah, I really try to look at broader cultural and political contexts that I'm working in, and then I use performative strategies and ideas about communication and exchange to explore those contexts and power structures. And so, for example, I created a piece in 2008 called Exchange Rate 2008, which was created in direct response to the 2008 presidential election. I had gone to Brazil for a second time, actually, after my first initial trip, where I was curating an exchange between Brazilian artists and artists from the U.S. And I noticed that people in Brazil were, I mean, it was the winter of 2007, I noticed that people were really primarily interested in the U.S. election. That was their main concern at that point. It was on the front page of every single paper. They had, you know, obviously other concerns too, but our election was really going to impact their everyday life. So that's what people wanted to talk with me about. And so I kind of wanted to take that that experience and that idea of how our election was going to impact the world and create a project where artists would be able to exchange performances and artwork around the election and interpret that artwork as well. And so that was a role as a director where I was including lots of different voices and lots of different perspectives in an artwork. Whereas in other projects, for example, a video that I created recently, it was more about my own personal interaction with an individual. So I created a video called Can't Afford the Freeway that was a conversation between myself and a Iraq War veteran, because curators are really, they have a really amazing role, and it is, from what I see it, it's to really frame particular ideas and movements and help sort of generate dialogue. Artists and different curators function in many different ways. But I really come at projects from an artist perspective, and I don't have that same sort of focus in framing culture.
Do you find that your individual interaction from an artist perspective, how does that role allow you to explore the ideas surrounding communication and exchanging these kinds of ideas? I mean, I feel like compiling, you know, global perspectives on the United States election can arguably be pretty curatorial.
Well, I guess, I mean, in terms of Exchange Rate, it was really about my community and connecting with them. So I wasn't sort of choosing artists based on what I thought that they would produce or how that work would necessarily relate to one another. It was more about my sort of connections with people I knew and their connections with other people they knew and so on. So it was more about a network of people rather than a super carefully and specific chosen group of individuals, if that makes sense. But yeah, I really use collaboration and interaction and exchange with people to, as a strategy to explore ideas of how communication functions in political contexts, or how people can relate emotionally to social issues and relationally to social issues rather than factually or pseudo-factually.
How do you see the theatrics, though, that your practice, on top of being multifaceted, definitely uses the emotional responses or relationships to the political and social, you know, issues? How do you see the theatrics playing in your goals as an artist when you start producing and making these projects?
Yeah, I think that theatrics can function in a lot of different ways. I think that there are there's a lot of theatricality inherent in human interaction. There's a lot of roles that people play, and I don't mean that in a negative sense in terms of people lying or being false.
Right.
I mean it in the most positive sense possible, that there are different strategies that we use to interact with each other in order to make each other feel safe or to understand each other and empathize with one another. And so I think that the theatrics is one way for a sort of criticality to enter into the equation. So the theatrics creates a distancing in lots of different kinds of artwork. But it also, in that distancing, it also can create, as I mentioned before, an empathizing as well as a distancing. So when you use your own body or just a body in a performative way, then it really has the potential to evoke some really deep emotional, physical resonances in people and reactions. So that's also a strategy in using theatricality.
What kinds of artists, past or present or upcoming, that you've noticed resonate with you? What gives you that emotional response?
Well, it's interesting because I'm working on a project right now with a friend of mine that's an experimental filmmaker. Her name's Vera Brunasung, and we're working on a project called Vivid Bodies, A Choral History. In this project, we're investigating feminist performance art that has had specific resonance for the community of artists that participated in that artwork or viewed it or performed it. So I'm really excited to be working on this project and to be exploring artwork that is inspiring for me and has inspired a lot of people, but that is also really ephemeral and difficult to access, especially if you haven't been there. And it's going to be really interesting to see how the affect, the experience of these pieces, of this feminist performance artwork from the 70s and 80s and potentially early 90s has filtered through into the memories of people, women artists in Los Angeles.
I have a question about, again, relating to the political and social relationships within your work. How do you see memory? Because everything that we deal with socially and politically, there's a history that came from, or there's a reason for it. How do you see memory and history functioning in your work?
Oh, that's a really good question. In this recent video that I created called Can't Afford the Freeway, I had an extended conversation with an Iraq War veteran about his memories of the war and his experience of coming back from the war and being a veteran. His relationship to his experience was so visceral, and the experiences that he described to me were incredibly bodily and physiological, and it was almost as if he could be back in that space immediately, back in that space of hyper-awareness and the intensity that he felt. And his memory and his history of this experience, and also all of the emotions and things that he's had to go through since being back, really relate not only to him and his family, but to a broader section of society and of people that have gone through the war, but also the people that are sending soldiers to war. And so I found really important to highlight his voice and his specific story, which was particular to him, but also talked about some general themes about war and experiences of war that went beyond him, and ideas that aren't really being discussed, or not discussed enough, at least within a cultural sphere.
Alana, where do you see the roles that you're partaking in? Where do you see them evolving? Like, where to now?
Well, recently I've been thinking a lot about my grandfather, who was a scientist in the Manhattan Project.
Hmm.
And I've been thinking about that personal history. And for listeners that don't know, I'm sure most people do, but the Manhattan Project was the secret governmental project that developed the atomic bomb. So my grandfather was in Los Alamos with the most brilliant minds from the U.S. And some from abroad that the U.S. government could get together, and he was there developing the bomb with everyone else. And I've just been sort of dreaming about someday creating a Manhattan Project for artists. with kind of the opposite intent, a peace bomb or some other kind of cultural social bomb that would have the opposite effect of the nuclear bomb. But that's sort of a long-term dream and goal of mine. And I've been really excited about projects like GIST that are out there to help artists and empower artists to do really incredible things. And people such as Dolores Huerta that created such amazing change for farm workers and women and youth and immigrants. And there's this mathematician that I've been looking at, or I've been studying, called named Paul Erdos, who he published more papers than any other mathematician in history, because he would just travel from mathematician to mathematician, collaborating with them and creating a paper on whatever they were working on, basically, that was related to his interests. So all of those models are really inspiring to me. I still really enjoy these two positions of working with a bunch of artists or non-artists, but also working on more solo projects. And so I'm just excited to explore those two roles in different ways.
That's great. I think, well, for our listeners, I've met Ilana. I've been to her performances and installations, and they're incredible and inspiring, and I've definitely taken a lot into my practice. And Ilana, I think that you should share your website and or contact information should anyone want to learn more about you.
Okay, so my website is www.ilanaman.com, E-L-A-N-A-M-A-N-N, and my contact info is right on the website, so you can reach me there.
Excellent. Alana, thank you so much for joining us here at GIST Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. You can visit us on the website at www.gist-inc.com. Alana Mann, everybody. Amazing, right? Incredible. Check us out on our blog, on our Facebook, and we will talk to you soon. check us out on our blog, on our Facebook, and we will talk to you soon.
Ladies and gentlemen, I present
Hello and welcome to Gist Radio. We are a casual radio station where we broadcast when we have something to say. Gist stands for Getting the Shit Together, and we broadcast important interviews and information for artists and creators of all kinds. For more information on Gist, please log into our website at www.gyst-ink.com, where you will find free resources, software, and publications for artists. You can email us and let us know what you would like to hear about at info@gyst-ink.com. Thanks for tuning in.